Can a witch cause cancer? Can a witch place her image on a tumor? Yes. And you will see it next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe, only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Joan and Bob Nast. $6 million. Counterfeited. Caught. You look like such a nice couple. What are you doing counterfeiting $6 million?
Well, Sid, I figured if the government could print it and it's not worth anything, I might as well do the same thing.
But didn't you think you might get caught?
I didn't even think about getting caught.
Joan, did you know what he was doing?
Yes.
Weren't you worried for him?
No, because we were hanging around with people that the spirit agreed was upon them. We were hanging around with a lot of people in the mafia and wild people, and the spirit agreed had come upon us. And so money meant nothing. It didn't make us happy.
Yeah, but how did you feel when your husband was caught?
Oh,
that's another story.
That's another story. When he got caught, he was facing 60 years in prison.
60 years? I mean, this should have put a little sense inside
of you. Then I woke
up.
Then I woke up and said, now, what happens if I get caught?
Well, did you have a nice, easy judge?
No, I had a judge that they called a hanging judge.
I thought that was just TV.
No, he had a handlebar mustache.
Oh, really?
And, oh, yes.
You're sure he didn't step off of a Western?
Well, I thought he did. When I looked at him, I says, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And every attorney
I
knew.
You're a little light now, but you must have been shaking in your boots.
I was. I was kind of like oblivious to it. I knew I was going for sentencing. I couldn't imagine me sitting in prison for the rest of my life. But I was looking at 60 years. 20 for manufacturing, 15 for printing, 5 for conspiracy, and 15 for selling.
Okay, the moment of destiny, and it's destiny.
Yes.
What did the judge say?
Well, it was a miracle. I'm standing before the judge, and he asked me how I pled, read off the charges, and I told him I pled guilty. And he looked down at my investigative report, and he's looking at it, and he's going through these papers. And all of a sudden, he looks up, and he said, close the book. And it was a book that they had on me, for my investigative report. And he says, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I feel that you suffered enough. I'm going to give you 6 months in a federal penitentiary of your choosing. I could choose the penitentiary.
That doesn't compute.
No.
And this was not a little crime.
No.
So that's not too bad. How are you doing during these 6 months?
Well, I was having a nervous breakdown, but I didn't know it. Our parents had died the year before, all in their 50s. My sister was 25, she died. My daughter was not well, and I didn't like the world. I had many fears, but Bobby was in my life since I'm 14 years old. We're going together. And when I heard that he was going to be taken out of my life, even though it was 6 months, I think that's when I went off the deep end. And I just turned more to drugs, more to drinking, I used cocaine every day. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know God loved me. I had no one to turn to. And hanging around with the people that I hung around with, I didn't have any really close friends. He was my only friend. So I felt very alone. So when he went away, I was very suicidal.
How addicted were you?
I used cocaine every day.
Addicted?
Yeah, every day. I didn't think I could sell a house without it. I didn't think I could be a social person without it. I loved it. I loved the way it gave me that false security. I loved the way it made me feel.
Bob, did you have any concern about your wife while you were in prison? Did you know how desperate she was?
Yes. Yeah. I used to use cocaine a lot also. But I was almost like a weekend warrior. It didn't bother me. I could use it Saturday and Sunday and, you know, party it up over the weekend. And then Monday I could just put it away in my drawer and go to work. It didn't affect me. But when everything happened when I was in jail, it took a while to realize what I've done and the way I messed up my life. And I sat there one night, it was about 9:15, and it was about, after I was in there for about a month, I used to call Joni every night and say, how you doing? You know, I used to call a collect, and she'd be crying, what are we gonna do, what are we gonna do? And I guess that the reality hit me, and I fell on my knees, and I cried out to God, and I says, God, if you're really out there, you probably heard this a million times before, coming from a jailhouse cell.
Called jailhouse religion.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, Father, you probably heard this a million times before. I said, but I promise that I will not do another thing, another wrong thing again, and I'll serve you for the rest of my life. If you'll spare my wife from committing suicide, and if you'll spare my children the embarrassment that I caused them. And I put my head down and I cried. And I'll never forget when I looked down, it was 9:15 that night. And I didn't think anything happened that night. I just blurted it out. I had to get it off my chest. And the next time I called Joni, which was the next day, and I called her next night.
Joan, what was going on at that same time with you?
Well, the night before that particular night that Bob was praying, I don't remember coming home. I went to a friend's house, a big party. I did drugs. I had three teenagers who never did a thing wrong, thank God. And my 14-year-old daughter had been going to our church at the time, and she begged me every day to come, and I said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going to church. I'm bad. I'm probably going to hell like everybody else. That was my attitude. And she would beg me. But this particular night that I passed out in the car on the front lawn, my three children took me in the house, babysat for me. I got up in the middle and I broke everything in the house, broke dishes, wrecked the house, did everything. And the next morning she said, either you come to church or I'm running away from home. So she dragged me to church.
How old was she?
14.
Why did you go to church?
Well, because she said that if I didn't go to church with her, she was going to run away from home. And I couldn't take another loss in my life. She was my only little girl. I had two sons and my little daughter. And she was serious. And she says, Mom, I'm not going to watch you kill yourself. With Daddy in prison and everybody else in the family dying, I'm not going to stand by and watch you kill yourself. You're going to church.
Well, how about you? Is everything falling apart around you? Probably not as bad as the Nass, but something phenomenal happened, and it happened to Joan at the same time it happened to Bob. We'll be right back after this word. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with the Nass. I mean, here Bob is in prison because he was counterfeiting $6 million and got caught. His wife is into drugs and into depression, and she doesn't even want to live anymore. And then at 9:15 p.m. in prison, there's nothing Bob can do about his wife and family. He's in prison. He's stuck. But he can pray, and he got right with God, and he asked God to take care of his wife. Well, Joan, your daughter came in and said to you,
she said, if you don't come to church with me, I'm running away from home. I'm tired of you using drugs every day, cocaine every day, and hanging out with your wild friends. She said, I'm not going to watch you kill yourself while Daddy's in prison. It's bad enough. You're coming to church. I said, I don't want to go to church. I know I'm going to hell. I'm very bad. I do bad things. I've been involved. And I said, I drink too much. I use all these drugs. I said, I can't go. She said, if you don't go, then I'm running away from home. At that moment, the shock of another loss, after losing my parents, my sister, and my great husband here in prison, I couldn't take another loss. So I said, I finally agreed after much arguing. So on December 7th of 1980, she dragged me into this church in Fort Lauderdale, Abundant Life, and I went in, and that was my night. That was not my night. When the pastor said, "Is there anybody here that needs Jesus?" I went, "Huh, might as well give it a shot." I've tried everything money can buy. I've tried cocaine. I've tried every drug out there, Quaaludes, you name it, I tried it. And I said, "I've got nothing to lose. Why don't I give it a shot?" I didn't know what it meant, but I thought, "I'll go forward." So I went forward, and when he asked me about Jesus, but the first thing he said was, "Do you know that God loves you?" And I went, "No, I never heard it said. No one ever said that to me." How important those words are, to know that God loves you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are, whether you're in prison or you've killed someone or done something or had an abortion, it doesn't matter. God loves you. He might not like what you're doing, but he loves you. So when he said that to me, something started happening to me inside, and I didn't know what it was. And when he said, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Do you believe?" I said, "I'm Catholic, so I know all that stuff." So he said, "Well, then, if you just say a prayer, ask Jesus into your heart, he will forgive you of every sin, and you're guaranteed eternal life." Well, that sounded like music to my ears, because I never thought a person like me could make it to heaven. So I said the prayer with him. I accepted the Lord. And at that moment, I don't even know how to put into words that that moment was the night that God himself touched me. I felt the arms of God, of Jesus, around my whole body.
How'd it feel?
It felt like if I could remember when I was infant in my mother's arms and in a nice warm blanket, you know, coming out of a bathtub and smelling like all powdery and safe and secure in my mommy's arms. That's how I felt at that moment. And I hadn't felt like that in years of our lifestyle. And I didn't think I could ever feel that again. I actually felt oppression leave, depression leave, fear. I was afraid of living, but I was afraid of dying.
What about the addictions?
Every addiction left me just like that.
All this instant.
Instantly. I, to this day, 21 years later, I never had a desire from cocaine again. I never wanted any of the drugs again, nothing. That night I went home, I poured everything down the drain, got rid of the cocaine, got rid of the Quaaludes, got rid of the liquor, just dumped everything, got rid of it all.
That's at 9:15 p.m. Her husband in prison says a prayer, and she says a prayer. Their life gets transformed. Bob gets out of prison, successful builder. Everything's going good. They team up with Benny Hinn and go to his meetings and act as workers there. And then one meeting, a group of witches, I mean, real witches, walk into the meeting. And what happened to you?
Well, it was the first night of the crusade. We were going back to the hotel. And all of a sudden, I became deathly ill. So ill that Bobby had to carry me
out
of the cab. In the cab, I went, "Something smells like a foul odor, damp, and like in a basement, a cellar." It was sickening. And anyway, when I got out of the cab, I don't remember much more after that. By the time I got upstairs, all night, I stayed on the floor of the bathroom sick. And I really thought I was dying. And Bob said, "You know, we haven't eaten because we work hard at the Crusades and you don't take time to eat." So we knew it wasn't food poisoning. And he said, "Joan, this is spiritual." He said, "There's been an attack against you. And a little bit of knowledge will kill you if you don't know about it." And we didn't know that much about it, even though we were warned. So anyway, the next day, I stayed sick. We came back to Florida. Within 5 days of the night of the crusade, a huge lump popped out on my breast. I went right away to have a mammogram from my doctor, said go for mammogram. The technician took a mammogram. She goes, "Oh my God, you better get to a surgeon. You have cancer. And wow, there's a witch on your mammogram."
A witch on your mammogram?
Mm-hmm.
How could that be?
Well, I don't know how it could be, Sid, but that's what showed up. That's directly from my mammogram.
That sure looks like a witch to me. And the technician said it was a witch. But look at the situation they're in. A witch caused that cancer to occur. She's desperate now. But what does she do? They want us to operate. She said, "No, I'm going to a Benny Hinn campaign." She goes to the campaign. Benny prayed for her, and all the others prayed for her. What happened when he prayed for you?
Well, He didn't touch me. He just started walking towards me, and the power of God came through the room and slammed me to the floor. And when they picked me up, I said, Benny, I know God has healed me. I know it. He said, well, I'm not God. I can't tell you what to do. I said, well, they want to reoperate. They want to give me a mastectomy next Monday. He says, God will give you the peace to know what to do.
Question.
Yes.
When they tested you, did you have any cancer?
No.
No.
When they reoperated on me, I allowed them to. Because
the lymph nodes.
Yeah. The surgeon said, there's no way I can tell if there's cancer in your lymph nodes. If you will, I've got to go in and find out for myself, even though it appears
was
that...
Was there?
No.
None in your lymph nodes?
No.
Did they remove your breast?
No. They couldn't find any more cancer.
How do you like that, witches? Huh? There's more power in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, than cancer has, or any curse has. I'm so glad I have intimacy with God. Wait till you find out the miracles that are going on now in their life. We'll be right back after this. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with the Nats. And before we find out this great miracle that happened in their life, I want to go to Janie Duvall in the control room. Janie, I mean, that picture is really something of that witch. I mean, that really looks like a witch.
When I saw that, I thought there was no way someone can just say, oh, maybe. I mean, it looks exactly like a witch.
Who's up next week?
A Jewish man named Ira Kelman, and this man was struck by lightning. 125 million volts of electricity hit him, and he's alive. But he's had other really incredible miracles happen in his life.
And I understand when that hit him, he was actually in a church speaking a very special scripture that I believe is what protected him.
He was talking about Psalm 91, the supernatural protection of God. But Sid, this man has seen even other miracles. He saw a baby that was dead come back to life.
That's my kind of miracle. Thank you, Janie. Now, Bob and Joan, we're going to, you've spent many years now helping children. You have a supernatural compassion. You go to children that are dying in hospitals. And one day, you had a vision from God, direction in your life. Tell me about it, Joan.
Oh, I was reading in the paper, being a realtor, I was looking for a condo for my daughter, and I saw that there was 5.5 acres for sale, not far from where we lived in Fort Lauderdale, for $400,000. So I said, hon, we have to go look at this property. He said, why? He said, Joan, we just lost a ton of money. We have no cash. We had a $500,000 home and a big boat, and that was secure. But we had no cash at this time, especially to go buy a $400,000 ranch. So, but being the wonderful husband that he is, he said, all right, let's go look, but we can't buy anything. I said, don't worry. We went out to the ranch, and it was an old, ugly ranch. There was potholes and Pepto-Bismol pink color, no roof, no porch, no. The fences were torn down, tractors laying around. It was ugly. It was very ugly. But as we entered on this long driveway to go up to the house, I'm telling you, it was just like with Peter, when a sheet fell from heaven. And I looked, and I saw hay rides, and I saw miniature horses, and I heard children laughing. And I actually saw wheelchairs and children getting out of wheelchairs and off stretchers. But I heard laughter, laughter, laughter. And I'm looking to the left and the right, and I'm going, wow. Now Bob starts getting nervous, and he says, what are you looking at? And I went, oh, Bobby, something wonderful is going to happen here. He said, Joan, we don't have any money. And I said, I know, but this is wonderful. By the time we got to the top of the driveway, there was a man standing there in a black Porsche handing what I found out, the owner. He was handing him like $25,000 to buy it that day.
So it's done. You can't buy it.
No, but God can. And when he wants something, he'll make it happen.
So what happened?
Well, we got out of the car, and he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, I mean, my
she
knife.
She kept me in suspense all the time. Sid,
God didn't talk to him for
makes
two
for
and
a good marriage.
Yeah, right, 39 years of it. So I walked directly over to the man and the other man, And I said, excuse me, you're the owner? And he said, yes. Well, I have a lot of jewelry. And I started taking off all my jewelry, and I put it in my hands, and I said, excuse me, to the other man. And I said, here, I come here in the name of the Lord. I said, we don't have any money, but we're buying this property. It's going to be called God's Little Acres for terminal and seriously ill children, and God's going to do miracles here. So take my jewelry. Well, the man didn't have any choice.
Lady, you got chutzpah. He's just got, what was it, $25,000 in cash?
And getting the rest.
Or your jewelry. Give me a break. What did he say?
Well, the man that was handing the cash got very angry.
I can understand.
He got very upset.
I can understand.
The man that was taking the money thought I was nuts.
I can understand.
And I knew it was God. And so he...
I didn't understand.
And he held my jewelry, and he's saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I went, shh, it's God, it's God. So now the owner says to the other man, you can leave now. He said, come back tomorrow. She was here first. I wasn't there first. He had a list of people that wanted to buy that property in 1 week, because you could build anything there. But I said I wanted to make it a ranch for terminal and seriously ill children. He later told me the reason he accepted my jewelry was because he was a rich man all his life, but he never did a thing for a sick child. And all these other developers who had the cash wanted to tear it down and make money with it. When I said that, he thought, well, maybe I could be a part of helping a sick child. So he held my jewelry. Bobby wanted to kick me. The man didn't know what to do, you know. And he said, take your jewelry back. I said, I really don't want it. All of a sudden, it meant nothing to me. And the rest just became miracle after
miracle. Let's talk about history right now. When someone goes on your property, what is the first thing they feel? Tell me a real person. What do they feel?
We had a UPS man delivering a package, and he walked up the driveway.
How long ago was this?
3 months.
Okay.
He walked up the driveway, and he said, what do I feel on this property? What do I feel on this property? And Joan said to him, you feel the power of God on this property. And she said, you better get right with God, because you turned away from God 10 years ago. And the guy started crying, and he accepted the Lord.
Tell me one person that was physically healed on your property.
And tell me about little
Joan.
Well, I think we have a picture of Chris. Little Richie.
Richie, okay.
Well, we've had lots of miracles are happening. Little Richie's been in a wheelchair. He's 8 years old with cerebral palsy. And we have a picture of our little grandbaby who's 4 years old now. He was three last year. When I said to our grandson, Joshua, if you lay hands on the sick and say, Jesus, fix him, it'll work. So our little grandbaby went over, laid hands on little Richie and said, Jesus, fix him. Well, a month ago, they come to our ranch a lot, these people. And little Richie came up. They were wheeling him up our driveway, which is called Damascus Road. And all of a sudden, the mother says, Aunt Joan, Uncle Bob, look it. And little Richie got out of his wheelchair and walked up. And he had never been out of his wheelchair.
Hmm. What about the one with bone marrow?
Yeah.
Quickly.
Christopher, 8 years old, he came, and he had a 1% survival chance with cancer of the bone marrow. We asked his parents if it was okay if we could pray. They said yes. They weren't sure if they believed, but go ahead. We prayed. The child shook. We knew God was touching him. And they said, what's happening? I said, God's touching your little boy. So I said, let us know when something good happens. We call it a praise report. And they said, okay. 3 weeks later, we got a praise report on our email. We took our son to Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York City to see if there was anything they could give him to slow this dying process. They retested him and couldn't find a drop of cancer in him.
Did you hear that? Witches, eat your heart out. Let me tell you, the power of God is so strong right now that whatever you need, when I say the name of Jesus in Hebrew, you are going to be set free, because there is greater power in the name of Jesus than cancer, bone marrow problems, heart problems, diabetes, greater arthritis, greater... Here it goes. Here it goes. You ready? Get ready to receive. There's a faith transaction. Get ready to receive. 1, 2, 3. Yeshua. 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 Yeshua makes you whole. Go and sin no more. And I pray that in the name of Yeshua, God would put his arms around you just as he did around Jonah. I pray that you would feel the comfort and the peace and the goodness and the love and the mercy of Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. Right now, open your heart up as you've never done before. Experience the reality of God in the Messiah's name, Yeshua. Amen.